huge companies change healthcare and AT&T, they both crashed. There's hacks involved. Their network systems going down. Ryan Hunge said, if you are using this clearinghouse, payments delayed up to 3 to 4 weeks, which is really going to hurt your cash flow.
Cash flow of a month, that's a big deal. So yeah, you might want to start prepping for that now if you know that you've utilized Change Healthcare. There is a known criminal group responsible for the Henry Schein attack that we covered back in November, right? They had 60 large successful attacks over the last year. But what was crazy about NVIDIA is that from quarter four of 2022 to quarter four of 2023, revenue had a 250% increase. No business out there could replicate that type of growth. The purpose of a KOL is what? To improve where you're already at, right? So figure out what you're trying to get to, figure out who's done it, and then go and find your KOL. Don't just follow somebody because you like the way that they smile.
Welcome back to another episode of Dental Rift. I'm your co-host, Gary Bird. I'm the founder of SMC National, where we help you create, convert, and close more new patients so you can grow the way that you want.
My name is Tanner Applegate. I am the CEO and founder of Unified Dental. We are a password manager specific for dental offices because we understand your pain and we're here to help you.
So we got a lot of cool stuff to talk about today, and I'm actually really excited about this one because we were talking before the show. And number one, NVIDIA, the chip company, if you don't know, they just grew more than any company ever in value, faster than any company ever. Like, they literally grew by basically three Airbnb values in one day, which is absolutely crazy. Also, Change Healthcare and AT&T, they both crashed, huge companies. And there's hacks involved, their network systems going down. So we're going to talk about that. And then recently, I've had several posts where people have gotten pretty mad at me for asking questions about KOLs. So key opinion leaders or influencers in the dental space. And it's very, very muddy and very ugly, but I think we should talk about it. So Tanner, which one of these topics do you think we should tackle first?
Let's start with these cyber attacks, because I have... So you know my product, right? We are a password manager. And really, like, what my core is like, I want an efficiency tool for people.
Yeah.
But security to me is like, yes, we need to have security. And we definitely have it within our product. But it wasn't a hot topic. It wasn't something that people cared about. But recently, I cannot stop finding all of these hacks that people are having of, hey, we had this exposure, we had this issue, et cetera. And so we have two big ones today that we want to discuss. But it's just fascinating to me how much security has become a prime time topic right now in general, right?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, and I told you this off air, is that people were predicting this last year. They said going into 2024, there's going to be major hacks, major hits into the infrastructure, not just in like dental, but like in the nation. And now it's starting to happen and you're starting to see it. And you saw AT&T went down. Now Change Health Solutions got hacked. So I think this is going to ramp up this later this year, like leading into the election. Just, I don't know if you remember the last election year. It was kind of crazy. So I look at this and then the lady we had on last week, the guest, she said, these are bad actors in other countries causing disruption on purpose.
So I dug deeper than I normally do, right? I usually go and find the story of like, what happened? What's the resolution thing, et cetera. Change Healthcare, let me put this into perspective for you. Change Healthcare is literally the biggest clearinghouse across the entire healthcare industry, right? So they service pharmacies, they service hospitals, they service a lot in dental. I think they're one of the bigger players in dental too. And right now they're down. They literally are crippling a lot of the infrastructure that relies on them because of this attack. So I dug deeper into like, who is doing this attack, what's happening, et cetera. There is a known criminal group. They're the ones that were responsible for the Henry Schein attack that we covered back in November, right? They have had 60 large successful attacks over the last year. They're called Black Cat. It's just ridiculous that there is an individual organization that has become so prolific and good at what they're doing that we've gotten to the point where we're just numb to it. Like, we don't pay attention to it or talk about it or do any of this stuff.
Hey, got an important announcement for you. We are hosting the second annual Full Arch Advantage event where you learn to create, convert, and close more full arches so your office can grow the way that you want. This is going to be in partnership with BioHorizons, and this is our second year, but the important part is it's going to be virtual, so you don't have to fly out, buy hotels, travel with your team. You can just register and block off the days and watch virtually. And right now we have early bird pricing. It's never going to be cheaper than right now. I don't even have a discount code because it's so cheap. It's only $199 right now to register. And it's for your team. It's for your dentists. It's for your treatment coordinators, your dental assistants, and your marketing managers. And you're going to learn a ton of stuff to grow. Last year's event had a 74 NPS score, which is amazing. And the feedback was really, really good. So if you're looking at leveling up, we have a ton of new content, a ton of new automations and things that you can add to your practice to really grow. And we're going to be going over a lot around sales and executing on the phones to make sure that you can grow the way that you want. So don't miss this. Go to Full Arch Advantage right now and sign up. This price will not be around for long. Yeah. And it's at this point, I'm just like, my dad is already out there.
Your dad is out there for sure. But that doesn't mean when you're shut down, you can't operate your business because you rely on this.
Well, yeah, that's so I actually saw a post about this today on Facebook. Ryan Hungay posted it and he said, if you are using this clearinghouse, which most people
change
are,
healthcare.
Yeah. Then you are not going to be able to get payments delayed up to 3 to 4 weeks, which is really going to hurt your cash flow from insurance patients. Now, as we know, dental offices are always late on these payments, right? So usually dental offices are being paid 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, up to 6 months, so even longer sometimes after the treatment. And so those payments are coming in. So all of a sudden there's going to be this just drop off in a month or two, right? Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Essentially, yeah. So typical time to payment is about 3 weeks, depending on the insurance carrier mix you have. And if it's delayed another 3 weeks, you will have about a month where you won't be able to get insurance payments. And that is going to significantly impact a lot of, especially like DSOs in the DSO world, they're already
big money.
Living on thin margins.
Yeah.
Right. So that cash flow of a month, that's a big deal. So yeah, you might want to start prepping for that now if you know that you've utilized Change Healthcare.
Yeah. And on top of that, so it's just like, well, just borrow money. So I just need money for a couple weeks, a month. Money's expensive right now. So
if I were a DSO right now and I know that I was going to face this constraint, I would be taking all of my team members that had any type of extra capacity and having them bill out any patient AR that I have outstanding.
Yep. Start pushing in people treatment right now, basically, right? Mm-hmm.
Not treatment, but any treatment that was already done, just start collecting outstanding balances.
Oh, outstanding balance. It's just like, hey, I need to get this paid.
Yep. Maybe give like a 10% discount, get it in, but get your cash reserves up because it's going to get tight over the next few weeks.
So smart. Yep. I'm actually going to update my team about that right now because I know that a lot of our clients are going to be hit by this. So want to have them ready for that. All right. So you good to move on to the next topic?
Yeah. I'm curious. Did AT&T impact you?
Nope.
Change your day-to-day? No. I don't. Nope. I'm not on AT&T. So I was just like, that sucks to be AT&T.
Yeah. No. But there was a lot of people who were. So, yeah. Okay. And well, this is the other thing too. With AT&T, it's not entirely clear if it was a hack or a bug or... Like,
yeah, I heard it was like an infrastructure failure,
which is, yeah, because Wi-Fi was still working for everybody. So everybody's phone still worked as long as you were on Wi-Fi, but you couldn't, if you try to use cell data, you were toast for certain people in certain markets, but the markets were all scattered all over the place. It was really weird.
And that's why I'll never, like, I signed up for internet here when I first moved back to this house, and Verizon was like, hey, we got Verizon 5G in your area. Why don't you use that for your home internet? I'm like, I will never do that. Like, I don't care how fast you are. Just the fact that it becomes a wireless connection, I worry about the infrastructure of it.
Yeah. Which is if your phone goes down and your Wi-Fi at the same time, yeah, that's a big problem. Big problem. Mm-hmm. You can't operate. Okay, so let's talk about, you want to talk about the KOLs or the NVIDIA?
NVIDIA. Well, I want to just call this out. This is something that like, I love tech. I love the financial markets and following what's going on there. NVIDIA, rightfully so, blew up. Like, so there's one of the things you mentioned on our intro is that like they had the highest increase in company value of any for a long time. And that is true. But the interesting thing is that company value is all a perception of what we think about that stock.
Yeah.
Right. So you could have a company like Tesla did this for a while where they would like have a little bit of a performance increase and everyone's freaking out and their stock blows up way more than it should, justifiable to what their like revenue increase. But what was crazy about NVIDIA is that from quarter four of 2022 to quarter four of 2023 on revenue, this is not like net operating profit, this is revenue, had a 250% increase. That is insane. No business out there could replicate that type of growth at an already $1 trillion business valuation, right? iPhones, like I sent this to you in a text and I just want to call this out. You would literally have to, iPhones right now in Q4 23, they ship 60 million iPhones. In order to get a 250% increase, they'd have to ship 160 million to go from a 20% market share up to a 60% market share. Yeah. No way is that ever going to happen in 1 year.
Yeah, or they'd have to come out with a new product, right? If they come out with a brand new product that everybody wants to buy. They'd have to come out with a
new iPhone because iPhone is still like 80, like something like 65 or 70% of their total company revenue.
Exactly. So here's another way to look at it too. So what I was watching this one business show and they were talking about it and they quoted Jeff Bezos and they said, Jeff Bezos said, your margins are my opportunity, right? So when you see a company like NVIDIA, who's just like massively successful and has huge profit margins, that creates opportunities for other people. However, in this particular instance, there is a huge moat around them, NVIDIA, and all the other companies, because they started working on the stuff. They made a guess, right? First, they guessed at video games and they got that right. Then they guessed on AI and they got that right. Because it could have been wrong, right? Like they could have bet on AI and AI was way slower. Lots of other people bet on this stuff before and mistimed it, but they were in the right place at the right time. And they're the only ones building this stuff. And it seems like it's going to be that way for quite some time. I think they have 90% of the market, 91, 92% of the market.
The most interesting competitor is ARM, ARM. And I was following them a little bit and they actually are getting traction because I thought the same thing. And I thought, I was like, oh, this is a moat that's infinitely going to scale and they'll have this market forever. ARM is A, increasing company value from this same riding the wave of what's going on in AI. But they're actually, from a tech perspective, from what I understand, they're also catching up at a decent pace, right? Again, it's easier to be the second plowing through than it is to be the first creating it. But the fact that they are catching up is a very fascinating topic because NVIDIA has such a huge lead.
Yeah, that's really cool. I find it fascinating. So what right now, are you buying their stock? Are you selling their stock at a peak? Are you?
So here's my predictions on NVIDIA, right? This is in the book and we'll circle back up on it in 2 or 3 years. Okay. I think that NVIDIA is going to continue to rise because I don't think that the AI, if you look at the trends of VC and investments and kind of the focus of the capital markets in general, they go through these like 3-4 year cycles. Okay. I think that started last year. It'll happen again through 2024 and it'll probably continue into 2025. Before it slowly starts to die off and there's less investment and interest in there. And what that means is that there's going to be less usage or demand for their hardware that NVIDIA is producing. So I think that you give it last year, this year, and next year, and they're going to be on a wave that could continue to explode. But then starting to be those next couple of years after that, you're going to start seeing NVIDIA's revenues decline, I mean, not declining, but slowing. And that will end up creating a panic in the market and you're going to see their values drop. So if I were to hold over the next year or two and sell in 2 years, buy. If I am trying to do this as a long-term investment, I would not buy right now.
Got it. Yeah, not a buy and hold. Interesting. Okay, let's talk about the KOL list. So I'm working on a project and I needed a list of KOLs in the dental industry. So I just made a post that said, who are the top KOLs in dental? No, I didn't put any pretense in it. I didn't say DSOs, single practice. I didn't say the good ones versus the bad. I just said, just tag somebody, right? And I was hoping that people would tag people and then I would get a bigger audience, that there's a certain group of people who look at my stuff. And then I was hoping that people outside of my group would look at it and post their ideas. And that's what happened. So on Facebook, I think the post had a couple hundred comments on it. LinkedIn, it had a decent amount, not that many though. But overall, I got a really solid list. I got 104, 108, something like that, people mentioned. And so I put them all, I just dropped them all into an Excel spreadsheet. It's very simple, like a Google sheet. And then I created another post because people kept telling me in the comments, I want to see this list. I want to see this list. So I posted it and I said, hey, if you want this list, just let me know. I'll send you the list. No strings attached. And over those two posts, I had more people reach out to me than ever before about anything that I've ever posted about directly and in the comments. And there was basically And then I asked a third time. I said, why do people get so mad about this? Because I wanted to understand it. And that post got a ton of traffic too. So here's my basic breakdown of what I've seen. And I was really ignorant of this. I know some people were like, you're just milking this because people commented on it. But I was milking it because I didn't understand why people were so mad. I really didn't. So there's a couple things. Number one, the biggest comment was ego. So people's feelings are hurt because no one mentioned them, or they want to be a bigger KOL and they just don't like the other KOLs because they're bigger than them. And that's a big problem in the dental industry because it's a fixed mindset, right? It's the, well, if they're a KOL, then I can't be a KOL because they're stealing from me somehow, right? And it's like, no, you both could be awesome if you wanted to, right? So that's number one. But then number two, and the big one, was fake KOLs. And I'm just like, what are you talking about, like fake KOLs? And what I kept hearing, and I had separate conversations about this, as well as in the DMs, you can go look at the comments, was, okay, there's dentists out there that will go and shop themselves to businesses. So they'll come to someone like you, Tanner, and they'll say, all right, Tanner, I'm going to shop your product for you. And I'm going to tell everybody about it. I'm going to go speak it and you're going to pay me. And I've never even used your product before. Or even worse, that would be like a mild case. Even worse, going to like a company that has a product that's more clinical and talk like, hey, I know how to place implants and I want to use XYZ company to place implants. And I'm talking about it and teaching people, but they've only done one case. And this is what Dennis kept saying over and over and over again. And newer dentists can't spot them, right? But the more seasoned dentists spot them. And they're just out there just slinging, you know, products basically. And they're making money for doing it. So those are the two big things that I see of why people get so mad about this topic.
I believe it. Yeah, when I was in operations of a DSO, there's a period of time where I've been highly involved in the DEO when I was starting in my DSO career. And they would bring on a lot of KOLs. They don't do it as much anymore. They kind of teach their own content now, probably for this purpose. But what would happen was that when they would teach, these KOLs would teach their stuff. As I became more and more experienced, I was like, this person is full of crap because this does not work. Like, I know I had a call yesterday with a friend who was like, oh, I did something that so-and-so recommended to me to do, and it completely backflopped. And I ended up having like 30% of my team members quit on me. Right. And this is actually from somebody that was an operator. Right. So there's always this thing of like, you got to be careful about like who you're listening to and who you're taking advice from, because just because they talk the talk doesn't mean they walk the walk. And honestly, that was why I hesitate to even ever kind of like put myself in that group, is because of the stigma surrounding that, of like, these are great talkers, but they're not great walkers. That's where I'm like, I don't really have any interest in being involved in that.
How many of their team quit?
30%. All within like a matter of one event.
It just
across six offices.
I don't even understand that. Like, I've never even heard of that. From one in-person event.
Mm-hmm. No, not one in-person event. It was like, so what he did is they said, you've got this extra fluff. Here's how you need to handle it, and kind of down right size the team. Uh-huh. Right. So they were going to fire like three or four people, and they said, oh, you need to make this announcement. You need to educate the team, et cetera. Just for like four people across like a 200 person team. And what ended up happening was that announcement and the way that he was suggested to do it sparked a lot of fear and concern in the team. And that's what caused this like exodus.
That's crazy. Yeah. So what's your percentage? Cause that's the question I kept asking people. And here's the percentages that I kept getting told. People are like, I kept hearing 20% and 50%, 20% and 50%. So 20% of the market are fake, bad actors, can't be trusted, all the way up to 50%.
Depends on what you measure as a bad actor, right? Like, am I going to take every bit of advice from everybody on that list? No way. But if I'm going to go in and ask them specialized advice on certain things that they know, yes. Are they going to give me advice on other things that they don't really know, but they think that they're smart? Yes. And that's the part that I'm not going to listen to, is where I'm like, you don't have experience in this. Like, why are you telling me about this?
So how do you decipher that? How do you start to break that down? Like, how do people spot it? So I created a post and I said, here's how I spot it. There's a lot of people who have like tons of views, but no comments, right? Or they have a ton of views, ton of followers, no comments, no thumbs up on their videos. So they're clearly buying views. I see this all the time in the dental industry. And they're like, oh, yeah, blah, blah. And it's like, bro, like, you have 2,000 views, no thumbs up, no comments, and you're talking about dentist? There's no way, right? Like, there's no way that's happening. You're buying those views. So that's one. But then people gave like a whole playbook, like, and you can go look at the post. People had all these different things, how to spot a fake person or someone who doesn't know what they're doing. What are your thoughts? Like, how do you weed through that?
I find people that have achieved what I want to achieve and ask them how they got there. And if they recommend things to me, then I'll listen to it. But if they haven't achieved what I want to achieve, then I'm not going to listen to them. I don't care if their posts are incredible or not, or if they've got comments or views or whatever. I don't care. Some of the highest quality advice or coaching or consulting I've ever gotten has been from people that have no audience.
Yep. That's another thing that people kept bringing up is like, what about the people who are amazing who don't earn on social media? And I'm like, what do you want me to do about that, bro? Like,
right.
I don't know how to fix that. Like, go out and I had somebody else post on there and they said, I'm tired of this. I don't even want to be on social media. I'm like, don't be on social media then.
Then don't be on social media.
It's all good. Permission to leave. Like you have permission to get off. Like it's okay. No, you know, sometimes I go on, sometimes I check out, I stop posting for long, long periods of times, for long periods of time where I'm just like, I don't feel like doing this right now. It's not serving me right now. And I'll come back to it later.
And what's the purpose of a KOL is what? To improve where you're already at, right? So figure out what you're trying to get to, figure out who's done it, and then go and find your KOL. Don't just follow somebody because you like the way that they smile.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to have some common sense. So I think where it gets tricky is like you have these doctors. So here's the other thing that I learned in these comments is that the doctors are supposed to be disclosing if they're paid or not when they speak.
It's not just doctors, everybody.
No, I'm doctors talking about
for sure.
Doctors for sure.
Oh, you're talking from a clinical like KOL perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So when people are speaking, they're coming there and they're supposed to disclose, they're supposed to say, hey, I'm sponsored by so-and-so and that's what I'm talking about today. And I'm just going to share my experience with you. Like they're supposed to do that. And then I'm like, well, then doesn't that fix the problem? But then, and especially if there's CE involved, now you really have to disclose. Like that's part of the agreement of the CE, but not everybody does that.
There's some big players in the space that I know are not incentively aligned in a ethical way that push information that I feel like they should not be pushing because I don't feel like it's always accurate and true based off of my experience. And they are way bigger than me that if I were to ever go and try and call them out publicly, there's no hope for me ever being able to make it out of that alive.
Like they'd literally kill you or?
I don't want to test it.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I follow you and I hear you. So interesting. So how do you sort through that one, Tanner? Like you're like, they're way bigger. Everybody's paying attention to them. They don't pay as much attention to me. I feel like I know more about A, B, or C than they do. But how do you break that down?
I just walk the walk, man. I just do what I do. And
if I want to be on social media, I
think it's the same thing. People got to quit getting so in their head about what everyone else thinks and just live your life. God, get out of it.
I'm gonna clip this part and post it on social media.
Amen.
All right.
It's not going to influence anybody and they're all going to be still in their head of whether they're in their head or not.
100%.
All right.
You have a good one.
Talk to you soon.
Peace.